And he's learned to believe for God's favor, believe for things to work to his good and all that. Because if I was going to title the sermon, I've been listening to the Southwest Leap Believers Convention this week. And if you don't know nothing about it, you might look it up and listen to some of it. And I listened to Jonathan Shuttlesworth, and I didn't really know anything about him, you know, for years. And he's come on the scene last several years, and God has raised him up. He's got an awesome testimony. He shouldn't even be able to talk and all of that, and he shouldn't be able to walk. But he's one that God has raised up in this last generation for a voice of boldness and faith. And when he got done preaching that sermon last night, or I think it was last night, man, I thought, I'm fixing to go park at the church like I did back 30 or 20 something years ago, and I'm going to march around this city again and anoint it on my way this time and take the city. That's it built me up like that. That's what I felt like, you know. Well, I was listening to Keith. I think they've got it all week, so they do it in the mornings and 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock. Of course, it's always recorded and you can listen to it. So I would encourage you, you know. And, you know, I thought before, and I told Travis today, I said, I've got certain preachers that I like to listen to, you know, and y'all probably identify with that. You're just not turned on with Creflo Dollar, but you are with my, you know. But I told him, I said, when you've got veterans and when you've got, you know, people that has been solid and sound for decades, you know, and then their voices carry something. It might be a little nugget for you. And I was telling him, I said, so I listen to some that I really am not particularly drawn to, but they have something. They have something. So I felt led to say all of that, you know. But the title tonight is Always Victory. And Keith was preaching, you know, and Keith Moore, and I really like him. He's been in my life spiritually. Of course, when I listen to him, I listen. There's difference in hearing a sermon and listening. He that has ears to hear, let him hear, the Bible says, you know. And have intentionally listening, you know. But anyways, he said the Lord gave him a word, just one word for his part in the thing at that sermon, and it was always, you know, just the word always. And I thought, man, that's awesome. So I sat there, you know, and I'm listening to him, and it wouldn't leave me alone, you know. And he quoted familiar scriptures and all, and I just started pondering on it. I started pondering on the word, you know, and then I turned to the word of God. We'll get to some scripture here in a minute, praise God. And I thought about it. I thought, Lord, I have seen more attack, and y'all not getting this stuff, I guess, on y'all's news feeds where they're attacking ministries and stuff. But see, Satan strategically targets you at times. You understand that? Y'all not seeing it. Teresa, I'm not seeing it. She said, so what you click on? I said, I ain't clicked on none of these tear down the kingdom people. You know, but anyways, I mean, it was all four of them that's doing the convention. You know, this is some of the worst preachers that Christianity has ever seen. Then it had about that far you could read, and I thought, I will not read that garbage. So I scrolled on by, you know. And I thought to myself, you know what? Praise God, you know, that's normal for the world and Satan to anoint people. He anoints them. He anoints them. He convinces them that that people, and I did challenge one, called himself a prophet. I said, tearing down the ministry. I said, show me your ministry in the Bible. Point it to me. Give me the scriptures in Corinthians or Romans or with Jesus. We're not called to that. We are called real ministers and Christians that are real. We are called to preach the gospel, not to tear it down. And not to tear down ministries and people, you know, and just like, you know, you want evidence, your marriage is going good and all that, you know, and then all you got to do is hook to your camper, according to Travis, and drive down to Florida on the beach, and somebody down there that's had a bad time with his marriage and divorced and going to bust his bubble. Because he's telling them he got a good marriage and bringing up God. And so his evidence was waiting on him 5 hours away. See, you might think that's little. You might think that's nothing. But trying to convince him that his marriage is going to fall apart sooner or later. Yeah. And so I was thinking about it. I thought, you know what, praise God. I thought, Lord, give me the scriptures you want tonight. I'm not on marriage, but I am on marriage. I got the victory. When I get attacked with something, whether it's in, I'm attacked now in the financial realm. Job's not working, all of that stuff. And I'm not going to go tell you some sad story how hot it is out there and how about passed out. How they didn't deliver everything right, all of that. So I went to where this morning and picked up some more, and I told the guy, I said, that I'm doing the job for. I said, I'm having to believe God on this one. I'm having to believe Jesus on this one. He said, that's why I got confidence in you. See, let our light shine that men, and I could have went and I could have cried all day to him. I could have but I picked up the phone and I told Travis just the other day, I don't remember when it was, I said, let me tell you what God did to help me back yonder when I started out in this business, and it was overwhelming me. My job was overwhelming me before I went in business. So it ain't got nothing to do with none of that. I told him, I said, the Lord spoke to me one day when I was overwhelmed, seemingly with phone calls and troubles and all of that. I said, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you are a problem solver. He said, and you get paid to solve problems. That changed my whole thinking. You work there because they got a problem. You're anointed to solve their problem. You're anointed to solve their problem. Deliver nothing, whatever it is. Concrete. It ain't about the concrete. It's God put us in this earth to be a light and shine. He put us in this earth to have victory. I mean victory always. Victory. Not sometime victory. But you don't. There's a guy on there, you know, and he's kind of against ministries and different things like that. So I just went on there one day, and I'm trying to help him. I wasn't trying to criticize him. I went on there and I told him, I said, you need to get your eyes off of people and yourself and get them on Jesus. Get them on Jesus. And then all of these problems and people is not really your issue anymore, because all that begins to drift away. Because in his presence, the Bible says, is fullness of joy. Then the same person, I didn't put on there, but I will if he keeps on. He didn't delete me and block me, so that's a good sign. I was led. Amen. I'm anointed. You're anointed in your living room. You serve Jesus. You're not a part-time Christian. We're not part-time. Aiden was at the pool today, and this young man wanted prayer. He knows me and everything's been here, and he wanted prayer. Come up, and I'm sitting there. We had to go today. We had to be there at that time today. Any other time, that probably would not have happened. We had to be there today. And so we were, that guy come over to me and said, Pastor, would you pray for me? And I said, absolutely. Right there with everybody swimming and everything, I didn't even think about it. I just grabbed him by the hands. And I just begin to declare the word of the Lord over him. And I begin to move, because I realized that I don't care who's in the pool or who's here. I might be here for what I think I'm here for, to watch them swim, you know, but and all that's all and good. And I give them both a nine and a half. I give Aubrey 9.5. And I told Aiden, I said, you're a professional swimmer. And he looked at me and he said, I am, Papa Anna. I said, you're a good one. And so anyways, I told him, he starts over by there. And I said, see that young man over there in the swimming pool? He said, yes. Yeah, Papa, I see him. I said, you go over there and you be a witness for Jesus. I said, that's what being a witness for Jesus is. You need to be one right now for Jesus. I said, you go over there and you tell that young man, why don't he come to church? And so he goes over there, jumps in the pool, swims over there, and when he come back, I said, did you ask him? Did you? I asked him, Papa. I said, okay. I said, what am I doing? I'm teaching him how, wherever you're at, to be a witness for Jesus. Because victory is mine. Well, that guy, he said, this is just a song, and he's singing a song. I'm back off of that now, over on something else. He's singing a song, and he said, and these are the trials that helped me, that built my faith. That is a lie. You got it?
Yes.
Trials do not build faith. You cannot get one scripture out of that Bible that will tell you that trials, but you can get all of it out there. Romans 10:17 says faith comes how? Not by trial. The Lord spoke to me back 28 or 9 years ago, and he said, don't wait till you get in a trial to build strength and faith in me. He said, you build strength and faith in me where when you get in the trial don't take you over. See, you might not even know you're going to be in a trial next week. You don't know what the enemy might try to do, but we're not afraid of him. He has adversaries. You know that Jonathan Shuttlesworth, he's bold, boy. I mean, he goes down there, praise God. He stirred me up, and I thought, glory to God, man. We're going to have to do something special here in Bluntsville. We're going to have to, you know, he did a program over there and showed a little bit of it, and he thought, I'm going to find somewhere where they're really living in poverty, and I'm going to buy the ministry, all the kids I want to buy them Christmas. Well, it started out a little thing, and he got that thing rolling, and he advertising it. And he said, and I thought, you know, it would be, you know, maybe $20,000-$30,000, and it turned out being $1.2 million. He didn't have the $300,000. He just stepped out what he felt like God wanted to do. He was after that city, and he then. He gave an altar. 10,300 people showed up to that he thought was going to be just get some. And there was companies started donating go-karts, mini bikes, shoes, toys, clothes. And then he just showed him on the stage, and he was telling them, and there was people crying, and they was just weeping and crying, women and men. And he was telling them, he said, God has not left you. God has not forgot about you. God has not. And gave an altar call, and it was either 710. It was 710 people came and give their hearts to Jesus Christ. And when I got done listening to that, I thought, man, I'm telling you. And then I told Travis today, I told him, I said, man, but God, I'm fixing the park down there in Bluntsville. I said, maybe we need to do something spectacular down here in this city. God give us this city. God give souls. It ain't about land and buildings. It's about souls. And I told Travis, I said, they are not saved. The fruit of them Facebook Christians that quote scripture and get the prayer line going, they got no fruit that salvation has come into their life. I'm not just talking about go. I don't just go to church. I'm in church. I'm in it at the pool. I've got the victory at the pool. You know, it's been consistent in my whole Christian life that it looked like that I was going to be defeated. I'm talking about year after year after year after year after year. One trial after another, they're still coming. Well, we didn't know it. Why would I want to be like the children of Israel when God had to go tell them? He said, Why are you crying? Tell the people to get up and move. Sandy with her car. She could have been, Lord, oh God. I'm telling you, it's going to be a mess, the Chevrolet place. They can't figure it out, blah, blah. No, she goes to the one that she's give her heart and life to and trust that he is able to reveal, just like the transmission. These are not little instances. These are God moving in your life, showing you that it's not the spectacular all the time. If you got to live in the spectacular and feeling motion and all that, you're going to miss the moving of the Holy Spirit. Because he's that small, still, inward knowing that you're talking about, that he's with you. He's in. You ain't got to have a prophet if you know who you are in him, if you are truly born again. A Methodist pastor pastored for 30 years. And he went to a Holy Spirit-filled meeting. What that means, Mac, is the Holy Spirit was in the place. He had not been in the place preaching, evidently, for 30 years. He goes to this revival or whatever where the Holy Spirit was moving in the service and realized that he was not born again just like that man. And their whole family has served the Lord here. I've watched their kids, you know, come up serving in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ because of them. Acknowledging the moving of the Holy Spirit, he got born again. He gave his heart to Jesus Christ. He had never been born again and preached the gospel for 30 years. 30 to 33 years. So I got down and I said, Lord, have I got the real thing? I don't want to go 30 years, Lord, lost, thinking that I'm born again. I give my heart to Jesus two or three times in front of my TV when they preaching and giving altar calls. I just got down, made sure, man, you know, I just made sure. I'm like, I got to make sure, man. So I get down. He'd say, if you're in your living room, get on your knees. He said, you know, you ain't got to be in this place. I did it two or three times, about two or three weeks of being born again. You know. Then I finally overcome that stupid stuff. I was born again. The proof is I'm here today in this building preaching the gospel, fellowshipping with you, worshiping with you, laboring with you in the kingdom, helping you as you help me to be successful, in what God has called and told and brought us together and anointed us to do. It's not about a church service. Satan tried to use that for years. Why ain't people coming to church? Because they're backslid. It's simple. Let's don't get confused. I'm not confused about it anymore. I'm not backslid, so hell can't stop me. Trials can't stop me. Marital trouble can't stop me. Financial trouble can't stop me. Church people can't stop me. I'm born again. Monty and them got off early today. Praise God. I mean, April, she works in like 100 and something degrees. I mean, in there at 5 o'clock in the morning and where she works. So she gets home, you know, and They take them a nap. They take them a nap. I would have too. I do when I can. I'm taking one. I'm resting a little bit. Amen, Mac? Yeah, we do, don't we?
Amen.
Well, they got up and didn't want to come to church. You know, and she was just telling me, she said, what we're going to do is we're going to church. We don't want to go, so that's a sure sign that we got to go. Something's going to happen. And they're going to leave here blessed because of their sacrifice for the Lord. You know, they did that for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Why? Because they're born again. And that hell can't stop. You are. If you're not born again, you are at the mercy of Satan. You are not right with God, and he don't have no mercy. But I'm going to tell you something about Satan. Everything, I began to think about it yesterday, everything that I have seen him plan in the Bible and with people's lives that stood in faith, every one of them failed.
Yeah.
He's a failure. Because we are anointed by the Most High God. So everything Satan has tried to do in my life since I've been born again has failed, Drew. If he can't fool you, you won't fail. If you won't listen to him. If you won't look at your limitations and all of that. And you look to him. And what he said about, I was thinking about it, you know, they said, well, the tide belonged to the priest over there. And I'm brushing my teeth. You know, they're tacking it, the tithing. Tacking that tithing, getting down theological. Under the law, where it went to, Melchizedek, all of the, I know all the scriptures. You know, and I'm standing there brushing my teeth and God said, what are you? I said, oh, I'm a priest. Bible says we are kings and priests. That was him. Showed up while I'm in the bathroom, brushing my teeth, fixing to go to bed. I thought, glory to God, I'm not going to preach that. I'm convinced, Lord, I know it. Praise God, hallelujah. You know what? I've been walking with God 30 plus years, been in ministry all of that time, and I've never let my marriage stop me. I don't care who you are, woman, man. You never lay down and surrender to defeat. Because men or women, because your family and people connected to you, they're not dependent on, they don't know it, but see, you're a connection to them to help them succeed. I've told Travis before, we've been here 24 years, I guess, going on 25 or whatever. I told Travis one time, I said, if anybody in this church fails, it'll be their fault. It will not be my fault. I said, that will never happen. I said, if anybody fails in this church, goes under, quits, back, whatever, I said, it will not be my fault. That's right. I love the Lord. And you cannot, if you really love the Lord, you cannot help it. You will love people that he connects you to. I told Travis, you know, I'm not a prosperity preacher. I'm just like Jesus. I don't label myself. That's stupid. I'm not a prosperity preacher. Now, he's anointed me to teach his people how to prosper. I'm not a prosperity. He anointed me. Jesus was anointed, right? He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me. Preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit anoints you in different gifts in your life. And it's not just for you, but it will bless you. You know? And so, Travis, he was just telling me today, he said, you know, Dad, he said, you have been attacked about the prosperity. You know, you teach prosperity and stuff, prospering, especially in the financial realm. He said, you were attacked when I knew that you didn't have nothing. They didn't know I didn't have nothing. I was preaching the word. And to the unlearned, the unregenerated, the unborn again, and carnal Christians, it sounds like that if when I'm teaching on tithing or giving, that I'm taking money from you. I said, but what they don't realize is they are not seeing. Flesh receiveth not the things of God. It's by the Spirit of God. It's by the Holy Spirit. So the preaching of the Word of God in gospel is foolishness to them that perishes. God's Word says it. But because it's foolishness to them, should not determine whether you're going to walk in God's goodness and God's fullness and God's plan and God's will and have His best. All of that should not determine. They can make web. I mean, look. They give money to them to build websites against ministries, but they won't give it to the church. Ain't that stupid? That is plumb dumb. If you're doing it out there, you got dumb wrote all over you. I mean, you're giving money to tear down Jesus' ministry. Jesus's. He started it. He gave his life for it. But you won't give to somebody like us that is feeding the poor, going into all the world. You've got it backwards. You have been deceived by your father, the devil. And to get out from under his power and his control, you're going to have to come and get saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ to understand what you think is foolishness is power to us. It works. Give me some kind of scripture. I don't even know what I got now. Yeah. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you're saved. He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. We're seated with him in high places. We are above defeat. We've been seated in heavenly places. We are above defeat. We are above discouragement. We are above fear. Amen. You got, if you having a problem with that, go and take that verse 26 right there and quote it over yourself until you know what it says without going to it, and say over yourself, I am seated in heavenly place. I am seated in a position of victory. I am going about doing my life from a stance of victory. And you need to get your mind renewed to that word right there, that no matter what comes in your life, whether it's sickness, disease, trials in your relationship with your kids, that you are seated above that and you are not coming off of that high place. And that high place is causing you to conquer here. See, we got to be successful in the now, but we got to believe for the future. You got to be successful now, Mac. We are. Not saying you're not. Successful now, but live in the future. So I thought about it. I thought, man, maybe we need to do some kind of rally here in Bluntsville, you know, that cost us something. Maybe we need to put together something like that that'll cost us 20 grand. What are we afraid of? God won't bring the money. He ain't let us down 24 years. He got your house. He got your cars. He's paid your bills. He's helped you through. He's healed you. Hallelujah. Now he's saying, go out. Go get them. Go get them. I'm going to march around this city again on foot. But this time I'm going to take a bottle of anointing oil. And I'm going to go, I might wait till after next month. No. See, now's the time because it's going to cost me. Yeah. Sweat. I might see if I can order me one of them fans that goes around your neck and blows on the side of your head. I didn't know they made them, but they do. I've looked to see if they had any light air conditioned ones, but I don't find none. It'd be good if you had air conditioned from here up. At least you would feel like you're cool. Because I thought, you know what? You know what? I'm not going to let time and circumstances and things that what it looks like in my life determine whether I can have the will of God. The will of God is everybody in this city get born again and not beg on. You know, like Shuttleworth, he is preaching. I don't know how the dude believes, but I do when I listen to him. He's of the same spirit of Christ. So it bears with you. And it feeds you, man. And usually the last thing you want to do when you're going through and having a rough time is listen to a good anointed service. That's about the last thing you want to do as far as your flesh, man. But you're not that man. You know that. We're new creations. When I look at Mac, I don't see you, Mac. I mean, I see you. I'm not dumb. But I can't see the you in there. Because we have been quickened right there, made alive, just like he was, quickened by the Spirit of God. I used to say it, you know, and it sounded kind of funny to people, and they thought you had to be all sophisticated. I'm not a sophisticated guy, just being honest with you. You know, I'm not religious at all. I mean, I wear my cap sideways out there as a Christian, not comb my hair, and I mean, you know, I can get up and leave it for 3 days and just leave oil in it. Don't even take a bath. I mean, I'm not, You shouldn't do that. You begin to stink, but I'm just telling you. I don't feel any less anointed with my hair. Now, Teresa might sit in there and he don't look anointed right now. That hair, you know. Yeah, some oil, man. Yeah, there you go. You know, but no matter what anybody thinks about you, when your heart is after God, you're just as anointed when your breath stinks. You're just as anointed when you don't feel good. You're never less anointed unless you let that anointing, you let down on that anointing that is in you by faith, because of your faith. And so let us pray together as a church and say, God, what would you like for us to do spectacular? I then went to him and told him, I said, now God, we've been believing for a building for about a long time. You know, and I said, maybe it's me. You know, I wasn't willing to put the air conditioning in, you know. But when I got willing, it got gave to us. Yeah. When I got willing to get my hands dirty, put things together. Even I put Johnny in there and I didn't know he knew nothing. He did not know nothing. I didn't know it. All I'm like is get it in there, get under there, clamp it together, and you know, and then God sends him help that knew all about it. He's been here for years, and I didn't even know he knew heating and cooling. That's miraculous stuff. That's not coincidences. That's miraculous stuff. And I'm like, man, that's what the Bible says. He'll supply all of my needs according to his riches. So I went to God, and I said, God, I said, now I'm not down on, I don't know your will yet. See, I can't have faith to get a $1.4 million building without him telling me. That's why I tell you, faith begins where the will of God is known. Every man is in the will of God working a job. Every man. I don't know about women. I'm not real sure about that. Some women work, some don't, and I'm good with it. They need to know what God's saying. For Teresa, you know, she's going to get a job. It seemed like it cost us money for her to work. So we determined that that's not God's will for her. We determined, us, not talking about none of y'all, we determined that it was not God's will for us. And she's not had a, what you would say, the regular job like that in 30 years, I guess, 25 or something like that. She has made it fine. God has actually increased her now where she's giving a lot and she's getting her own pay without a job. Yeah. What the world calls a job, you know. But I done went to the Lord and I told him, and that's what we all ought to do. God, what am I supposed to be doing? What's next for me? What do you want me to do? What about this season in my life? What about this? Aubrey, she's 11, sixth grade, six more years she'll be out. I done got her mind on believing God for a car at 11. Not to get it now. I'm causing her to go to school now, go swim, learn how to swim, but live in the future. Believe for the future. It's coming. So the other day we're on my Gator, we're cruising. They call it cruising. It's hot. They want to go, boy, that air flowing. And I said, what y'all going to be when you grow up? What y'all going to be? Aiden, he's going to be a sniper. That's not reality. Unless the Lord calls him into the army. He plays video games, so he likes sniper. He's going to be a sniper. Aubrey, she's going to be, you know, she's not real. She don't want to go to school. So what she wants to be, it's going to take a decision that's going to alter her life, and she don't like life-altering decisions. All she likes is training. And so she believes now she might want. I said, well, you know, you can paint fingernails now, you know, and you work. I'm not working in a beautician for nobody. I'll just have you and Dad to build my own. I said, well, you know, you got me. You're probably gonna have to go to school now and get a get degrees for how long, Papa? I said, I don't know. I don't know how long it takes. Any of y'all know how long it takes to go get a degree where you can have license and paint? They're all good at that stuff. They do it all the time, Beth and all of them. And so she's already got the mentality. But see, and I tell her, I say, whatever God says, right. I'm putting that in her. Whatever God says. See, back, because she can get out. And see, as Christians, we're not supposed to maneuver on our own. Right. We're supposed to find out what His plan, His purposes, His steps, and all of that are. Find that out. Then we've got faith. Without knowing the will of God, you have no faith. Right. You have no faith. I'm just telling you. You're out in the boat without a paddle, hoping the wind drifts you the right way sooner or later, catch a break. I know I spent a few, about probably a year, telling the Lord, if somebody just give us a break. Me and Teresa could have something. If somebody would just give us a break, just give us a break. See, I was looking wrong. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me. He said, I gave you one. He said, I gave you Jesus. I gave you a new life. I gave you vision. I gave you, and I quit looking to other people and I began to look to God and say, what am I supposed to be doing? Where am I supposed to be going to church? Where am I, you know, this has got to be taught in this generation. It's been lost in a generation. Just run around wherever God is. It don't matter where you go to church. I heard it. I corrected it every time I heard it. I corrected it out there to them. Don't matter where you go to church. It does matter where you go to church. Because I tell Satan, because I know churches that ain't got no faith. So I tell Satan when he attacks this church, I tell him, you should have went to that church over yonder that ain't got no faith. You messed with the wrong church. So see, finding the will of God. And once you find the will of God, then lay hold of the promises of it. If you find out it's God's will through God's word for you to be out of debt, then don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait till you're making more money. Don't wait. Don't wait till you're banking. If God's telling you, get you a storehouse and save money, don't wait till Trump sends you a tax return. It was Biden last year. It was Obama. A lot of them lived all from year to year to get blessed. I heard it out of Christian. But anyways, don't wait on that. You ask God, how much do you want me to put back? What do you want me to do, God? Lead me, guide me. You said acknowledge. You would. I mean, Monty just here recently, you know, first time, I guess, in a long time, don't know, really don't know their business and all of that, but I heard it out of his own mouth. I didn't have to borrow to put a motor in my car. They something you saved. They something you did when it looked like you couldn't afford it. It's going to take away. You got to live. You got to survive. But you went past that. I went past that. A lot of y'all went past that and said, "Black God, we going to be out of debt and we're not going to owe anybody anything according to the word of God." We lay our hands on our stuff. Travis told me, he said, I laid my hands on my truck and camper while I was on vacation, you know, and called it mine. Believing God to come out of debt. I'm coming out of debt. Speak to that debt. Speak to that mountain. The world is going to tell you stupid. But I'm going to tell you, your God tells you, call those things that be not as though they were. And that word does not change. I all the time call myself blessed. I try not to call myself blessed around people anymore. They'll nail your hide. Who does he think he is? That's Scotty. Boy, he did buy. If I'm looking for a good ruckus out of the flesh of somebody, I'll say it. I'm blessed going in and out in the city and the field. But God, something comes against me and God turns it around. That's Romans 8. I'm preaching. If I just really want a good ruckus on it and get a good attack going, just go out there and spread it. Give your testimony. Richard got it out of somebody, or somebody did. Anyway, I better hush. We're being watched all over the world. Lorraine's watching us. I'm believing she's going to get a hold of this stuff, not what I preach. I've got nothing in myself but Jesus. And I'm believing she'll get a hold of that, and whatever sentence she has, she's got cancer. whatever sin that she has that she'll believe God and it'll turn around. Long satisfied life, praise God, hallelujah. I'm not afraid to go tell them that's terminal with terminal cancer. I preached in here one time about healing and about cancer, and I rebuked it in the name of Jesus and all of that stuff. And somebody sitting here, they'd done told her, you got so many months to live or whatever it was, and praise God, and heard a good faith message on being healed and laying hold of healing, and then go right out and go pick out the coffin. So I don't have to wonder when somebody asks me, why did she was a good Christian. That's why I tell you, don't ever believe based on somebody else's experience, what happened to them. They might have lost four houses, but you don't have to. They might have lost four relationships, but you don't have to. They might have lost all their kids to the devil, but you don't have to. I'm just telling you right now, God is big and God is faithful and He is able and He is willing and He is doing for those that will believe Him. Nothing impossible to us that believe. So I told God, I said, okay, God. I said, now this down here, I've actually had it prophesied over me that we will get it. But I'm not real sure about the prophet. You know what I mean? But other Christians have come and told me, you know, I believe the Lord wants us to have that. I believe the Lord. And it might be. But it's not confirmed to me. That don't mean none of that's. So I set it on the shelf. When you're not really sure, you just kind of set it on the shelf and don't act like it might not could happen. And then, but I went to the Lord. I said, okay, Lord. I said, if you want us to have that, all I need you to do is tell me. Confirm it. I need to know His will. That's simple. Just putting it simple. Just confirm it to me. If He tells me to go on the gazebo out here and preach on the streets, I don't care if it's snowing, raining, hailstorms, devils, anything, I'm going. I did it back under when I was 27 and 28 years old. I'm not going to get up here older and say, well, you know, things are different, times are different, government's different. He's the same devil. He's got the same non-power over anything that has to do with God now as He had then. He cannot stop the will of God in your life. I told Travis the other day, many of them talk about sometimes meaty matters. I told him, I said, you know, Nehemiah seen a problem. The wall was fell over. I said, and he went and the king granted him access and to go and build the wall back. I said, and then Sanballat and all them came while he was building the wall, and they began to tell him, even a fox goes across here, that wall is going to fall. What was that? That was to discourage Nehemiah from building the wall. Well, Nehemiah put watchmen. He said, hey, man, y'all stay awake out there. We're going to build this wall. That's what we do together. That's what we do together. We find the will of God. We believe God for the impossible, and we see God do the impossible. So I'm trying to find out. It's that bank place, you know, the gated thing. Oh, when we get that, we'll be called a cult, starting a compound. I guarantee you, when God turns that over to us, praise God, I told Travis, we went by there, I said, good Lord. I said, Mac, it'll take him a week to mow and he'll have to start back again when he gets done.
I got plenty of time.
Oh, Mac, he's wide open. I have to get you an 80-inch cut, Mac. I'll get you one big one, 70, 80-inch cut, something that'll chop her down. Because, Mac, when he gets on there, I mean, this dude is leaning forward and he's puffing every now and then. I mean, and he's just, he don't probably ought to know all that. I ought to video him. I mean, he's one of a kind. But there's one thing I know about this man when I've been around him. He loves Jesus.
Yes.
He does love Jesus. And he serves Him. He serves Him. He even gives testimony that he's doing that for the Lord to people that comes around. That's letting your light shine, you know. So I want to encourage you, because I'm about 2 minutes and I got to get up and I got to go work tomorrow. No. Because you know what? If God goes to 10 o'clock, His grace is sufficient. I mean, I don't care if you've got to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. If God's got you held captive by the anointing in His Word and His Spirit, I mean, don't you pay no... I stayed up to 11 o'clock last night watching preaching. You know, I was watching it, you know. But God's grace will be... You know how come I know that? I've done it. I've did it. And get up the next morning and be like, man, I feel more rested since this morning than I did the other morning. You know, it's because God gives His strength and grace. So I want to encourage you, you know. Don't. I mean, I could just see some people today, they're just waiting on the next trial. Oh, God, what's going to be next? What's going to be next? See, you're bringing, you're expecting, you're releasing your faith in that. That is called fear. One time, I'm going to tell you this, and maybe I'll close. I was down here when we first started out in business. Me and my brother were in business, and I'd pull motors out and put them in our one tons and different things of that nature, whatever they needed. Redone the cobber, took them off the natural gas and put them on, or propane, put them on, switched the intakes and all that stuff. I did all that myself. And so, I mean, it was one truck after another tearing up. And I'm trying to get garage doors done, and it's just, I mean, it's just terrible. You know, and I'm thinking, man, if it ain't one thing, it's another. So my brother called, and I told him, I said, this is terrible, man, blah, 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 blah. And I went on, you know, and I went on talking and how bad it was. And I'm living in the trial. I'm not, yea, though I walk through, I'm not going through in my heart and mind. I'm there in it. I'm camping out in that trial. And he said, I told him, I said, man, I said, the devil, I said, every time, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he said, well, hey, man, that's all he's got. And I thought, I hung up the phone with him, or quit talking with him, whatever it was. And I thought, that's all he's got. This is it. This is all he's got. And then I thought, glory to God. If this is all he's got right here, then there's no way he can defeat me. And then that's when the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, do not camp out in your trial. Don't live in it. Live outside of it. I'm coming out of this. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Whatever you need to start thinking and praising God and saying, Lord, this is temporary. This is subject to however you do it. You got to look past where you're at and believe into your future, and God will make it happen for you. I promise you. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. I didn't give you that scripture, but that's fine. He says, the Lord always causes us to triumph in Christ. Always. I heard Keith Moore say, he said, this theologian come to him and said, what does that always mean? He said, I don't really know. And all. He said, so he went to every translation that he could find to look up the word always. He said, and he come back to me several days later, and he said, you know what it means? And he said, well, maybe. He said, it means always. Boy, I mean, I don't care what translation you go to, AMPC, the New Living Trans, it says always. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes you to triumph in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And we just thank you, victory. Oh, Lord, that's our inheritance, victory, that Jesus won for us and gave it to us and showing us how to walk in it. And I thank you for that. I thank you for everyone here, Lord. Thank you, Father God. You've given us this city, Lord. Lord, we ask you to give us these souls. Give us these souls. We're not asking them to come. We're not asking you to bring them in here. Lord, let us win them to you. Let us get them. Give us that door, Lord. Open that door for us, that opportunity, Lord. We want that opportunity, Father God. And Lord, we just get before you now, Lord, and if there's anything you want us to do, Father, to reach hurting people, Lord, You just let us know, Father. We're going to pray and seek you and seek together and look for your heart in the matter, Father God, and we're willing to labor in it. And Father, we praise you for that, and I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you that signs, wonders, and miracles will happen in our personal lives, Lord, because of your word and your promise and your will. Let your will, let your kingdom come in our life. Let your will be done, and we'll be sure to give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Anybody here tonight, you want prayer before we dismiss? All right, let's stand to our feet, give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah.